Yahweh, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy joining you live from Hallelujah Acres tonight on a Saturday night. I'm glad to have you in here. We've got a great program, part two of Holy Grail and Holy or Unholy Blood. We're going to deal tonight with the unholy factor of the blood. There is a holy blood. We're going to get into that later on, but we're going to tell you about the greatest deception that was ever actually installed, a system of deceit, and it continues right to this day. We're going to talk about the forgotten father. You know, in the Garden of Eden, we've talked about that for the last week or so. We've talked about Satan doing his little seed disbursement, and then he vanishes, or at least everybody thinks he does. But he doesn't. The Bible reveals him. It tells you about his goings and his comings and what he was up to and how he worked in the seed of Cain. And Cain is a four-letter word. And if you go back to the myths, mythology, if you will, into ancient history, these unholy grail kings of Cain have been very dominant and prominent in the world. But I'm going to give you a statement that may amaze you. There is no past, and there is no future time, as it is in the present, where the kings of Cain are ruling with a rod of iron to the extent that the whole world lieth in deception, and we've been deceived by the splendor, the majestic wonder. The Bible said he would deceive the very elect. And what better way to deceive the world than to use his own children? They said, well, I didn't know that Satan had any children. Well, the Messiah tells us so in John 8:44. Now, it's a familiar scripture, and it's been quoted by many people. But in relationship to the way that I'm going to deal with it tonight, to give you the imprint, actually we're going to create a mold, and then we're going to pour the truth into it and see if we can get a perfect picture of the forgotten father. Everybody talks about the father, but they don't realize that there's two fathers, and you have to make a distinctive choice of picking the right one. The Bible said, choose this day who you will serve. Now, if you're going to serve the accepted father, well, we would say, well, God is the father. But we forget that there's many gods. And so that creates a dilemma, and it actually presents a challenge to the mental capabilities and the spiritual capabilities and the physical capabilities of the PMS faculty we talked about. And so then you've got to be on your toes. You've got to be well informed, and you've got to have the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You've got to be prepared to face the consequences of what could happen to you if you don't present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Yahweh, which is, the Bible said, which is just a reasonable service. Well, I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that this man, Cain, his relationship back to the Father. I'm not talking about Yahweh. I'm talking about the Father, Satan. Now, how did he father a seed? Well, he got a tear. We know that. And Cain was the first visible and present indiscernible evidence that Cain was of the wicked father. Now, the forgotten father would be, of course, Satan. Now, we talked about Sargon the Magnificent in history, depicting. We talk about Marduk. We talk about some of these gods in the study of the things that Satan has done. For instance, the Bible, surprisingly, talks about Hermes. Now, that's a mythical god. But in the days of Paul, in the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, he was called Hermes, or Mercury. Now, this was in respect to the people that worshipped in that day the god Hermes, or Mercury. And they thought that Paul had come down as Mercury or Hermes, and that's who they addressed him as. They gave him the distinct honor of being Hermes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in his companion, we find that they gave him the distinctive honor, if you will, of being Zeus. And right there, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to, you know, we could go into the word Zeus if you dared to, and we could give you some illustrations of how Zeus has become a popular god. We're going to the 12th verse of Acts chapter 14, and let me read. Now, when Paul had healed this impotent man that was he was actually injured and lame in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked, when the same heard Paul speak, and Paul steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said unto him with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Now listen, Paul's got a great audience here, a very large audience of people that have come to listen to this man that they determined to be Hermes, and his partner in the crime would have been Barnabas, and they called him Jupiter, the priest of Jupiter. Now, amazingly, these gods are not as mythical as you might think. And so the forgotten father who fathered all these mythical gods and presented them to us down through the ages, I mean, today we worship Santa Claus. You know, I mean, that's the big deal. The merchants are they're waxing rich through the season that's fixing to come up. The greatest mercantile, and, you know, the kings are there that wax rich through their merchandise, it says. And, of course, we're talking about, in a spiritual sense, how that they have actually converted the financial structure of the just weights and measures we talked about last night into the amazing ability to create money out of thin air. And so this is the merchandising of prosperity. However, you've got to have the products. You have to have something made to create prosperity. And of course they created paper money, and then they like at a poker table, and you were playing with silver and gold. What they done, they created a deck of cards and called it a Federal Reserve notes. And you sat there at the poker table, and they raked up all the silver and gold and left the poker game, and left you playing with the monopoly money. It's just a child's game, really. But we fell for it. And we become victims of these king gods, these gods of Cain, who rule and reign and they are nobles. They are men of distinctive knowledge and wisdom, and they have a purpose that is higher in the earth than what you would realize for the purpose of knowing that Satan, as he is a wise master builder. He has built up Babylon through the worship of Saturn, Mercury, Zeus, Vulcan, Osiris, Osiris, Oannes, Dagon, Dragon, Moloch, Baal, Odin, Wotan, and some of the South American gods down here in the south, Voltan and Vakakia, and all of these mythical gods that came from the mystical mind of the creation of these dragon kings, if you will. Dragon kings, that'd be a good word for them. Now let's go back to 1937, and we go to the experience of the Wizard of Oz. Now, that was the Dragon Kings showing you their expert wisdom and letting you know how that they had controlled the world by creating illusionary worshiping systems for man to worship on while they stole the pot at the poker game. They literally just reaped a whirlwind when they were telling you of these figures. Oz is ounce, and ounces is the way that we weigh just weights and measures. Today, a piece of gold, 1 ounce, is worth almost $1,200 in Federal Reserve notes, and it's worth the imposition, almost $1,200. I think it got up to $1,197 here this week. Fell back some, but let's just round figure it to 12, which is a perfect government. And 1 ounce. Well, in the experience of the Wizard of Oz, he is a mythical figure that sits in the heavens as Saturn, Hermes, Mercury, Zeus, Osiris, Dagon, Moloch, or Baal, or Odin, or Wotan. All these are the great wizard from the unholy Grail kings of Cain. And the forgotten father that brought forth Cain is the one that we're going to talk about tonight. Now, we're going to go into Satan's attempt. And he was successful, ladies and gentlemen. I hate to say this. I reluctantly say this because it's almost a shame how that we, as children of Yah, the royal priesthood, if you will, a holy nation, we have not been as peculiar and as separate as you might think. We have really been taken to the creek by these holy grail kings that appear holy, which are not holy, but the world has received them as holy, and then the holy kings have been cast out. Now, who but the forgotten father, Satan, the father of Cain, and Cain, the father of all of these grail kings that have ruled and reigned in the earth? They created such a dynasty that is almost unthinkable for anyone to rise up and make war with the dragon kings, if you will, and Satan, the forgotten father, who is directing the traffic. If you would go into the New Testament for just a moment so that I can give you a gestalt foundation here to base my particular message here tonight on the forgotten father, Cain, who fathered many kings into the earth. Now, these kings have ruled under a the Messiah. And this is purposely, ladies and gentlemen. This is not something that wasn't planned. If you look at the master architect of Babylon, it was Yahweh himself who actually gave these unholy grail kings the power to deceive the whole world. I'm going to give you a scripture for that. Yahweh himself, working through these unholy grail kings who have been accepted as holy. I mean, look at George Bush. He just got through 8 years of ruling as a grail king. Look at Bill Clinton. And now we can look at Obama. And if we look to Europe and their grail kings, we can name particular nations that have given their power to the beast and the forgotten father, Satan. We're going to show you how that he got his genetics, his bloodline, infused the pterosaur, sowed a seed right into the true holy grail kings of Yahweh. Yahweh's distinctive princes. He had 12 of them, ladies and gentlemen. They were from the bloodline of the book of Genesis in chapter 21. Now, if we go there, we'll find that Abraham and Sarah were parents of a son called Isaac. Isaac, known as the son of Yahweh, this chosen one, he was particularly chosen, and Yahweh himself was instrumental in the conception. The Bible said, and Yahweh promised that he would visit Sarah and Abraham at the appointed time. Now, if you look at that at a critical time in the heavens, and we look at it as a dark moon when he appeared in the darkness of the night. And Yahweh did unto her. And she conceived at 90 years of age and brought forth Isaac, who was noted as a star king, something from the heavens. And he started a royal bloodline. And from his bowels literally came royal bloodlines, a holy and a peculiar nation of grail kings of righteousness. Not all were righteous. We're going to show you in the episode that we're going to give you here tonight that Satan knew exactly when and where to sow the tare into the field, which is the womb of the woman. And we go now back to the book of Genesis, and we're going there for your learning as we leave the book of Genesis chapter 21. And Yahweh visited Sarah, as he said unto Abraham, and Yahweh did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time. That was at the equinox of the spring. This is a festival account of the donning of the Passover. This is the lamb offering. This is the Holy Grail King. From this bloodline, ladies and gentlemen, would come the greatest Grail King of all of the universe. From this distinct bloodline. Now, enter the forgotten father. Satan is the father of a lie. He is the father of Cain, who was a murderer. And so the offspring of Cain, these unholy grail kings, these dragon kings, as I would refer to them periodically throughout our message here tonight, to alert you that everything that glitters is not gold. Just because someone sits on the power or throne of authority, and we're going to prove to you that Satan had this power of authority through the unholy dragon grail kings of Cain. And the way he marvelously got this is by transfusion of royal blood from the house of Isaac. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, that's too melodramatic. That never happened. Well, we're going to see if that happened. Now, listen, we got Isaac. He's born now. Yahweh tests Abraham in chapter 22, and then we go to chapter 23, and Sarah dies. And then we get over to chapter 24, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and Yahweh had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thine hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by Yahweh of heaven and the Elohim of the earth that thou shalt not, here it is now, thou shalt not take a wife unto my son out of the daughters of the Canaanites that dwell in the land, but thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here in verse 3 of the book of Genesis, chapter 24, the specific command was the ordinance that he laid to his servant, do not go unto the son of the daughters of the Canaanites. Do not bring a wife to my son out of the Canaanites. I wonder why that Abraham had this specific knowledge that the sons of Cain and the daughters of Cain, in this case the weaker vessel, who probably was a very gorgeous woman. We're going to show you just exactly what beauty will do. Just like we go back to the Garden of Eden and Satan, who himself was very, very, very handsome. He was, by his beauty, he was just an amazing, beautiful creature. His beauty was so enhancing that anybody, including Eve, would melt in his presence. Now, they adored him. They worshipped him. They idolized him. He had a tremendous following. If he was alive today, or if he stood on the earth today in a physical body, Hollywood would make an instantaneous star, and people around the world would literally faint when he came into the cities to visit. The young ladies would scream like they did for the Beatles or for Elvis Presley or some of the rock groups that are now stars that are being worshipped and idolized by all of the people. Of their beauty is vain. However, beauty sells. Beauty will deceive. Beauty will seduce. And we're going to show you the marvelous seduction of the beautiful daughters of the forgotten father. You ever think about his daughters? We talked about Cain. But have you ever wondered how beautiful these daughters of the real king Cain was? Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible will tell you that their beauty was amazing. That it actually swept the princes or the kings of Yahweh, of the royal seed. They really were swept away at the enhancing, seducing beauty of these good-looking women from the house of Cain. Well, let's read on here. Now, it came to pass that as the servant went into a land of Abraham, where that he chose a wife before the son of Abraham, Isaac. And remember, it could not be out of the house of Cain. No blood of Cain in the wife of Isaac. Well, here we find that the servant finds a beautiful young maiden, and her name is Rebekah. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master son's Isaac's wife, as Yahweh hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard the words, he worshipped Yahweh, bowing himself to the earth. You know the consequences of what he had just found, ladies and gentlemen? Kingdoms depended upon his choice. And Satan was listening to all of these things and observing all of these things with a master plan in his mind to pollute this particular womb of Rebekah, knowing that the first son from her womb would be the blessed by the son of Yahweh, the holy grail king Isaac. And this holy grail king Isaac, who had the power within himself and the living word of Yahweh to bless the fruit of Rebekah, and it had to be the elder son to receive the blessing. And he worshipped. And the servant brought forth jewels. Listen to this now. He brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave it to Rebekah. He also gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. This is a dowry. Precious metal. Silver and gold is mentioned here. And jewels and other precious things. Reckon that there was a title to the earth at stake in this transaction. Remember, Abraham advised his servant and had him to swear upon the death of Abraham's thigh that he would not take a wife of a Canaanite blood for Isaac's wife. And so it was. And they did eat and drink, and the men that were with him, they tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10, after that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not. Now you know what those 10 days represented there? The 10 kings that will receive power. These are the 10 grail kings of the dragon. Symbolic of the 10 nations that will arise out of the 10 heads that would come forth from And ladies and gentlemen, we're almost at the threshold. We're almost at the point of the 10 kings that will rule, or the 10 providences of the earth. Or if you will, a one world order with 10 kingdoms set under one world supreme ruler. And guess who that is? If you fine-tune this and reduce it down and bring it down to its most common denominator, for the final event, Satan himself will come into the earth as a royal king. His seed will receive him. He is a part of that 10-nation alignment of the royal beast of Revelation 17. And he's going to sit in the temple of God. Now, what God's temple is going to be built and where it's going to be built, I've covered this in past episodes, but I would refresh your memory. It's not going to be in New York City in the United Nations, as some have predicted. It's not going to be over in Copenhagen where the kings are meeting for the ruling dynasty of the unholy dragon grill kings that are gathering on the earth right now. These are the superstructures of the final commitment to the final king himself that will come out of the heavens. Nostradamus spoke of this king coming from the heavens. He's a royal dragon king, but he's going to be received as God himself. He's going to be a savior. He's going to be a redeemer. He's going to do marvelous things, so much that he and his messengers, that's the fallen angels of Genesis chapter 6, the sons of Yahweh who went astray and married into the daughters of men, therefore corrupting their own blood, angelic blood, forever having it banned for entrance back into heaven, and contaminating the bloodline of Adam. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, Adam's bloodline is not contaminated because Christ was going to come, the true royal seed is going to come through that bloodline. Well, that's exactly why that Satan is working overtime right here in the 25th chapter of the book of, or the 24th chapter, and we're going to skip the 25th because in that Abraham dies. And in verse 5, I'd particularly like to go there and give you exactly what is said in the 25th chapter. You're going to find that Abraham's other family was Keturah, and she bare him Zimran and Joshan and Medan and Midian and Ishbak and Shuha and Jasha begat Sheba and Dathan, and the sons of Dathan were Asiria and Listria and Lithrium, and the sons of Midian, Ephah, and Ether, and Hioch, and Adai, and Edai. All these are the children of Keturah, but Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts, and sent them away from Isaac his son, while he had lived eastward into the east country. Now, here we are. These are another set of royal kings. These are the sons of the princes of the dukes of Edom that are spoken about that would have power and authority today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the seed of the Arabs, which are, in respect to their faith, mostly Muslim. And we're talking about a great power of the dukes that they have. We're talking about the dukes of Cain. And this is a and the effusement of blood, as he has skillfully woven his own blood into the master race blood of the royal seed of Isaac, blended in with the dukes of Edom, to where the Bible says in the book of Daniel specifically that they would think. Now, who's they? These are those who have a conspiracy to rule the world. That they would think to mix their blood with the holy seed. Now, the holy seed are the royal kings of the Holy Grail, or the bloodline of Yahweh himself. Do you believe that Satan would dare to touch one of the descendants of the royal kings of the Holy Grail? Well, yes, he would. And we're going to prove that to you inasmuch as we're going on over to the book of Genesis, chapter 27. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son, and he said unto him, Behold, here I am, father Isaac. And he said, Behold now, I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out into the field, and take me some venison, and make my savory meat, which I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, and my soul may have its delight, and I will bless thee before I die. Now, Isaac was following the procedure of the eldest son receiving the blessing. Now, let's go back here to the 34th verse. And Esau was 40 years old. Now, 40 years old is the time of the agreement from Isaac to give the blessing over to Esau. But notice what he done. And he took the wife of two wives, Judith, the daughter of Beriah the Hittite, and Vashama, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And these were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. Now, I want to ask you why that it would be a grief of mind that Esau would do such terrible things as to mix his blood back into the house of Cain. If Esau was a royal seed from the blood of Isaac, then we could understand it. But really, was he from the royal seed? Well, let's go back to the 25th chapter once more, and we're going to examine that. And we're going to start at the 19th verse of the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis, searching for the father who is forgotten. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. Again, 40 is the time when adulthood, spiritual adulthood, if you will, when the royal commitment or the royal birthright and promise is handed from the father to the eldest son. Now, he's 40 years old. He takes Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan-Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated Yahweh for his wife. Now, this is very interesting here. We go back to the 21st chapter in the first verse, and we find that Yahweh is entreated to impregnate Sarah. And he did unto her, and she conceived. Now, here we find another interesting thing. It is like Isaac is sterile, and he can't get a child because he's trying, and Isaac entreated Yahweh for his wife because she was barren. That means that he had tried many times, just as Abraham, his father, had done. And now we have to enter a spiritual power on the scene. Now, when you would do good, listen to me well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm fixing to give you a revelation here. If you can receive this tonight, and I hope and pray and trust that you can, when you would do good, evil's always present. When Yahweh came on the scene, you can bet that Satan is not far behind. This is the forgotten father that is standing in the shadows, ready to sow the tare, because the Bible says the Son of Man is the good seed sower, and Satan is the evil seed sower. Here is the Son of Man. Isaac entreated him. And Yahweh was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. Now, ever what the entreatment was, whatever that the word entreatment comprises of, and we're going into the spiritual ladder and climb up, just like Jacob, the offspring here on the other half of this excursion, we're going to find that he has the ability to ascend and descend on the ladder into the heavens and back onto the earth. Jacob became a mighty prophet. Esau was a prophet of Cain. Esau was a holy grail king of the dragon, an unholy grail king of the dragon, meaning that his blood was not pure. Now, it's true that we have Rebekah here of a purity, and her egg was pure because we find that Abraham approved of the marriage. We find here that Isaac was approved of Yahweh because he was an offspring or a prince of Yahweh, and therefore that blood was okay. Well, why did Esau turn out to be so bad? It could have been that he was a victim, as was Adam, his distant past relative, if you will. That Adam also was a victim of the power of Satan to take you captive at his own will. You know what he promised Christ when the temptation went? He said, if you'll bow down to me, I just want you to be a prince, and I'll be the king. If you'll bow to me, I'll give you all of the kingdoms of this world. Now, the God of this world, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, I want you to take a long, hard look at that. The God of this world. Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't take this lightly, that Satan is someone just to cast aside whenever you desire to do so. If he has the power to take you captive at will, unless Yahweh builds a hedge around you and gives you extra protection, you will become a victim of Satan and his devices. Now, Paul said we're not ignorant of his devices, but that was after he got his head bashed in by Satan's agents, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were trailing Paul and his gospel everywhere he went to cause trouble. And you can believe, ladies and gentlemen, right here in the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis, we have a major dilemma. We have Satan once again fixing to enter the picture. Now notice, and Isaac entreated Yahweh, and he was entreated of him, and Rebekah conceived, and the children, say the children struggled together within her. And she said, why is it so, Yahweh? She didn't ask Isaac. She didn't go to her doctor. She didn't go to the Cedars Lebanon Hospital, she went to Yahweh. And Yahweh is going to inform her of one of the greatest revelations in the Bible concerning the Grail Kings. Right here we have a distinctive separation of light and darkness. Right here we have a distinct good and bad. Right here we have a distinct hot and cold. We have a opposite of the paradox of the opposite here. We have the good and the bad sowed in the same womb by two different fathers, and I believe that with all of my heart. Just like the episode of Genesis chapter 3, again, we have the reenactment right here in the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis, and Yahweh said unto her, verse 23, mark it in your Bible, and do you some research. Get your word search out and search this word out, and I'm going to give it to you just right here. And Yahweh said unto her, two nations at Strong's number 1471, for you that are taking notes and studying with Pastor Buddy tonight in the message, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people. That's distinct, different. Just like they had two different fathers. One bore the image of the good, and one bore the image of the bad. Just as soon as Esau came out, he was recognizable as an Edomite. And that's why we call Esau Edom. And he had dukes, he had royal kings, he had unholy grail kings that would rule over the house of Israel. And they get this power, ladies and gentlemen, the only way that they can maintain or receive or enter is through violation of a sexual act to sow their blood, unholy, into the Holy Grail bloodline, and thus the good and the bad are warring again against each other. Tonight, our problems in the earth are associated with this verse right here. Every death, every time you see the undertaker and the hearse roll by, every time you see the grave diggers out digging a grave, it's the result of the forgotten father. And we should bring him to mind and remind you that Satan is on his job tonight, and his job is to kill you, is to steal you, and is to destroy you. And the greatest weapon of destruction that Satan has ever used is his own semen sown into the womb of the holy royal daughters of the king and the kings of Israel. I want to repeat that and tell you that the greatest deception and the greatest power of destruction, greater than the atomic nuclear bombs that have ever been dropped or ever will be dropped, the greatest killer of mankind in the world today is the unholy blood of the forgotten father sown into the royal house of Israel. And ladies and gentlemen, this blood of these unholy dragon kings have gained so much knowledge, and they've got a foothold, so that they, as Yahweh's seed, have convinced the world that they are God's chosen people, when they themselves are evil beings from the forgotten father of the unholy grail king of Satan. Satan and his lords, Satan and his agents are at work overtime tonight, still continuing the quest for sowing the tares among the wheat. Now, our problem is we do not need to get anxious, as the Bible would tell us in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. So let them alone. concern yourself but with one thing. Get knowledge. And with this knowledge, use it and present it to yourself. Teach it to your children. Talk it on the telephone. Preach it on the radio. Publish it in newspapers and in magazines. Let it be known that the forgotten father bring about his memory, bring it back into the focal point of man's mind that he might know that we have an enemy right among us that is accepted as God himself or God's chosen people. And Yahweh himself is pushed to the side. His people are pushed to the side. They're either blinded, ignorant, fearful, or superstitious, or unbelieving. And they rank in the class of the goats. The sheep that will hear his voice are few. Straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, and the few there be that find it. And so then, your objective is, if you take the challenge tonight, is to study to show yourself approved. Workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and solving the mystery of the Holy Grail. Be it good or bad, it has a way of seeming right, and the whole world goes for it. The whole world has set Satan and his angels and his agents and his people and his kings upon the thrones of the world and all the nations tonight. I do not know of a nation on the earth tonight that don't have a dragon king of unholy blood sitting on the throne ruling the nations with a rod of iron. I do not know of one. You say, oh, Pastor Betty, I know over there in Israel now, they're God's holy people, and they don't have nothing evil sitting on their throne. Ladies and gentlemen, some of the biggest snakes in the world and some of the most evilest and corrupt beings on the earth are found in that region of the country. You know why? The focal point is on a particular piece of property, real estate, if you will, called Jerusalem. It has been a place, a hotbed of contest. It's been a city of the Canaanites, and I can prove that to you. If you don't believe it, I can go and show you it was a city that the Bible calls Sodom, and yet it's still conceived as a holy city. Ladies and gentlemen, the unholy Grail kings made it so. Yahweh never did call it a holy city. He wept over it because it was a territory that was appointed to Benjamin. And Benjamin was the bitter pill that took Rachel, our mother. She died in childbirth, giving birth to Binyamin, the last son of Jacob's strength by his beautiful wife, Rachel. Now, when we come back to the next part of the Holy Grail Kings, which will be Monday at 9 o'clock on WWRB 3.185, I'm going to pick up the episode of the distinction and the difference between Jacob and Esau. We'll get into Jacob's 12 sons, and we'll get into Esau's 12 sons, the good and the bad. And then we'll see the infusion of the good sons with the unholy blood of Esau, Edom, and the seed of Cain. How the snake got into the house of Israel. That'll be Monday. You don't want to miss it. And we will present you the truth and the facts as the Bible has revealed it to us. We'll give you a genealogy bloodline search, and we'll go into the blood lab of Yahweh and then the blood lab of Satan and compare the two. There is a distinct difference between the blood of Yahweh and the blood of the snake. One right. The other is the blood that was rejected. They rejected his blood right there in the city of the Canaanites, in the city of the Sanhedrin, in the city of the Pharisees and the scribes, which claimed to be children of Yahweh. But we're going to show you that they were unholy kings. Their blood was the grail of the snake. And we're going to prove it to you come Monday in the third part episode of the Holy Grail Blood Kings. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to the Pastor Buddy tonight around the world from Hallelujah Acres right here in Tennessee. We appreciate you listening in tonight, and we invite you to listen in five nights a week live to Pastor Buddy. We're always live, and thankfully, Yahweh bless you come Monday night. You don't want to miss this part of the series, the third part of how Jacob created 12 sons, and Esau created 12 sons, Satan to counter, and then the government of the warring factions of the two women, one good and one bad, one a whore and one that was accepted. Ladies and gentlemen, the whore church has been accepted into the world. The true church went underground and was rejected, but Yahweh gave her strength, and he's holding her up tonight. If you'd like to call me tonight, area code 423-626-2172. Leave me a message. And if you'd like to write me, please do. We need your help and support. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey down in the great state of Mississippi. And we appreciate you listening in tonight. And they have generously supplied the money for this program. And we thank them for that. Praise Yahweh. As they have sponsored us for two nights a week. That's on Tuesday night and on Saturday night. Now, if you'd like to write or call, just write me, Pastor Buddy, at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. You don't want to miss the coming episodes. We're going to show you who the holy bloodline went to and how Satan has deceived the world with an unholy bloodline, and they call it God's chosen people. And they even say that the Messiah came out of this bloodline. It's a lie of the serpent, the deception of the serpent, and it comes to the greatest deception of the forgotten father. We're going to remind you tonight and preach the truth to you, and Yahweh bless you. We're going to be continuing this series, probably, perhaps, all next week, of the Grail Kings, both holy and unholy. And we're going to show you the distinctive difference between the two bloods, one from the serpent seed and one from the seed of Yahweh himself. Did you know that Eve was overshadowed by two seeds? Did you know that Rebecca was overshadowed with two seeds? We'll pick it up and show you that one of those seeds was unholy, that one of them was holy, and so then we have the war of the womb by the Holy Grail Kings and the unholy Grail Kings as they fight for supremacy, and the greatest deception is right in our own house. Well, Yahweh bless you. I'll see you Monday night. Around the world on WWRB, we are simulcast on internet live around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South, WWRB, tonight. Plain reception. I mean, it's wonderful to receive it around the world. Anywhere you want to dial it in, just go to WWRB, click in on Listen Live, and you'll have the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy here tonight. Praise Yahweh. Now, also, we are on our website, One Yahweh, that's O-N-E-Y-A-H-W-E-H, oneyahweh.com. Go to our website, you can get our information, mailing address, telephone numbers, cell phone numbers, and the like, if you'd like to contact. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you Monday night. and I love you.